Chapter 56. Ty. Ty stifled a yawn. Breen's wake-up call came early. Ty wasn't used to rising before the sun, but after a cold wash and a quick meal of last evening's leftovers, they packed their gear and made an early start of it. The sun was just peeking through the trees as they made their way into the outer edges of the Sidaran forest, hoping to find some clue as to the predator that was killing off the wildlife. Their father had planned to join them, but the council called a meeting to decide what should be done about the witch's shop. With his presence being expected, he sent Ty and Breen on without him. Ty didn't much like that decision. They each carried a strung bow, a quiver of arrows, a long dagger sheathed at the waist, and a boot knife. On their backs were small travel bags, with some simple hardtack and a bladder of water each, in case they didn't return until after dark. Breen carried an extra brace of knives inside his overcoat. Ty had declined the knives, since he knew he couldn't hit the broadside of their barn at 5 paces. For all his abilities, throwing a knife wasn't one of them. The last time Breen had attempted working with him, even the horses had had enough good sense to get out of the way. Ty reached out with his magic and let it drift into the forest ahead, searching for any hint as to what they were looking for. He wasn't sure what it would feel like, but he had the distinct impression that if it showed up, he'd know it. So far, he felt nothing out of the ordinary. It was all kinds of exciting, in a disturbing and scary sort of way. The White Tower, the Black Watch, melting witches, strange beasts attacking the High King, and now a creature lurking in the surrounding woods. As thrilling as it was, he would have gladly traded it all in for the simple, mundane life he had before. As the noonday sun warmed the forest around them, and their breath was no longer visible, a nagging sensation started to build in the pit of Ty's stomach, and manifested itself in the hairs on both arms. They weren't alone. The brothers crossed the East River in a rough-hewn dugout boat their father had built for his travels back and forth through the Sidaran woodland. The traveling was slow, but steady, as they made their way against the current. Ty was thankful they weren't attempting this during the rainy season. The river's course would have been considerably more difficult to navigate. They pulled the small boat up onto the other side, and Ty took a moment to watch the river as it slowly meandered along, cutting a trail through the thick forest. Traveling the waterway with Breen had always been one of Ty's fondest pastimes. They would spend days fishing, swimming, and exploring the vast expanse of its ever-flowing body. His father had always said it was one of the great natural beauties of Aldor. The water was cold but clear, right down to the rocky bottom. The overhanging forest on either side maintained a constant shade during the day for the bargemen as they carried their freight up and down its water. They continued in a northwesterly direction, carefully searching the densely sylvan area between Easthaven and Reed Marsh. At one point, Breen raised his hand and brought them to a quick halt. Ty watched as his brother took a fallen branch and speared something just off the trail. Lifting the stick back into the air and spinning around, Ty found himself face to face with the bone-picked remains of what had once been a large tree rat.
"Look at the markings. What do you see?"
Breen held the skeleton for Ty to get a better look. Ty pinched his nose.
"From the smell, I would say fairly recent.
Maybe a day or two.
But these markings..."
Ty raised the spinal column with a gloved hand to get a better view.
"I don't recognize."
Breen nodded.
"Good eye. They're teeth marks," he said, swinging the end of the branch back his way.
His brother took a long look at the skull, which happened to be the largest bone structure on its body,
lending him a flatter surface to study.
I've never seen anything like this before.
Breen's eyes narrowed as he continued to study it.
I don't even care to speculate.
With a grunt, his brother tossed the branch, along with the remains, back into the brush.
Let's keep moving.
By the time lunch rolled around, the smell of death had increased considerably, and the number of animal remains had grown in both size and number.
We need to check in on old Daubin,
Breen said, as he bit off a chunk of dried meat and passed the rest to Ty. Ty took a small bite and passed it back.
His cabin's not too far from here, and I'd feel a whole lot better knowing he was all right.
Breen was always thinking of others. He couldn't help it. It was in his nature. Ty remembered the day Freya had bought Breen a wedge of chocolate for his birthday, and before the evening was out, he had made sure everyone in his family had received a piece. Thankfully, Freya hadn't been there to see it, or she may have put a stop to it before Ty had gotten his. After taking a quick pull from his water pouch, Ty signaled he was ready. Reaching out with his senses, he once again came back empty. He knew there was something out there, he could feel it in his gut, but he couldn't tell what it was, or even where it was. It was as though something was masking it from him. His eyes tightened as he scanned the trees and surrounding foliage. Even more than the sensation of being watched was the complete and utter silence of the normally thriving habitat. Twice the brothers came across what appeared to be a feeding ground, the forest floor glistening with a mound of small, animal-sized bones.
This doesn't feel right,
Ty exclaimed, not having meant to give an audible voice to his thoughts.
I agree.
Breen kept his voice barely above a whisper as he lifted his bow and knocked an arrow.
Not much farther. We should be able to see his place from the top of the ridge.
Cresting the small rise, their legs froze in place when their eyes fell across the quiet valley below. Ty felt a hand grab hold of his shoulder and jerk him down behind some loose brush. The entire floor of the glen was covered in white bones. Daubin's cabin lay at the center, untouched and silent as the grave. There was a strange clicking sound off in the distance, like a knife puncturing the brittle bark of an old hemlock.
What could possibly have done this?
His brother shrugged his large shoulders and whispered,
We need to find out.
Ty rolled his eyes.
I was afraid you were going to say that.
Breen pointed toward the front of the rickety cabin. Ty followed his aim to see what had drawn his attention, and then regretted it. There on the front porch, lying in a fetal position, were the remains of a human carcass. Unlike the rest of the smaller animals, Daubin had not yet been completely devoured, only from the waist down. Part of his backbone hung below his open stomach. The rest was obviously being saved for later. Ty swallowed hard against the growing surge of bile threatening to overwhelm him, and quickly reached out to the approaching presence. This time, he was met with a response. One solitary thought.
Hunger.
Sweat broke out across Ty's forehead as he rushed to follow his brother back down the side of the hill, careful to avoid any loose twigs or branches that might give away their presence to whatever was out there. Without a word, the brothers moved backwards along the path, retracing their steps, before Breen angled them west in the direction of the noise they had heard earlier. Ty's eyes darted in all directions for any sign of movement, and their pace slowed the closer they drew. Every hair on his body was standing on edge. The hunger for blood this creature possessed was anything but natural.
There was magic involved. There had to be.
He only prayed that whatever bit of power he possessed was enough to protect them. They were close.
Breen raised his arm, and with an open hand motioned them down to their stomachs. Ty maneuvered himself forward with his hands and knees as they crawled through a thick patch of undergrowth. The clicking was coming from somewhere on the other side. Sliding alongside his brother's large frame, he peered through the brush, but there was nothing there. His eyes darted from one side of the small clearing to the other. He could feel it. Whatever it was, its hunger was growing. On the other side of the bramble lay a hidden alcove of rock with a tunnel-like structure at its center, burrowing deep into the earth. Ty wrinkled his nose. The place smelled like rotting flesh and moist fur. He lay there in silence, completely immobile, for what seemed like an eternity, waiting and watching, until finally he received a slight nudge in the side. Slowly twisting his head around, he noticed a single finger raised off the ground and pointing to the left of the giant burrow. From the darkness of the trees just beyond, there was movement. Something stepped out of the shadows, revealing 8 hideously enormous legs as it made its way back inside the hole. Ty tried to swallow, but his mouth was as dry as the sands of the Wingabi Desert. He felt a tapping on his arm and realized he'd been holding his breath. Releasing it slowly, he followed Breen's example and edged his way backwards. Neither so much as blinked an eye as they crawled their way out of the undergrowth and back the way they had come. The clicking noise and the creature producing it faded into the distance. They quickened their pace. Once safely back across the river, Ty helped Breen drag the boat onto the south bank.
"We need to warn the townsfolk and the outlying farming community to stay out of the forest."
Breen was slightly out of breath as he gulped down a large swallow of his water.
"Once we get back to the house, I'll saddle Acorn and go north of town. I'll start with Freya and her family, and then work my way back toward East Haven from there. Make sure to keep Adara out of the woods. You know how she gets when it comes to searching out new plants and animals for her studies. She'd likely crawl down that creature's hole just to have a look at it."
Breen shook his head. Ty wiped the water from his mouth and stoppered his bladder before placing it back in his throw sack.
"We need to let the council know."
Breen replaced his water skin and pulled the thick protective canvas back over the small boat.
"I'll stop by there on my way back from Freya's. Hopefully, they can come up with a way to combat this new threat before more people end up like Dorben."
Ty grimaced as the image of the old hermit lying there on his front porch replayed in his mind. Hefting his bow and senses on high alert, Ty followed in his brother's footsteps as they sprinted south toward home.